So let's first review a few essential TV figures about TV worldwide. And all of the figures cited here were taken from the just published Global Tuberculosis Control 2011 report by the World Health Organization. So in 2010, the number of new cases of TB dropped to 8.8 million, with 1.1 million of those cases occurring among people living with HIV. The number of new cases has been falling since 2005. The global incidence rate was reported at 128 cases per 100,000 population, which is also falling. In 2010, there were 1.4 million deaths from TB, with 350,000 of those deaths occurring in people with HIV. And it has been estimated that there were 650,000 cases of multi-drug-resistant TB. In 2009, figures showed that globally 87% of cases were successfully treated. This map from WHO shows the estimated TB incidence rates by country. And you'll notice that the highest rates are in countries in East and Southern Africa, in Central, South, and Southeast Asia, and in Russia and some of the Eastern European countries. Now let's turn for a quick review of the Stop TB strategy, which is the WHO recommended strategy for achieving global targets set for 2015 by the Stop TB Partnership and within the Millennium Development Goal 6C. The Stop TB strategy is actually an enhancement of the DOT strategy, which is embedded as the first component. Additional components address key topics such as the role of research and development for new diagnostics, drugs, and vaccines, which brings us a little closer to the topic of this presentation. But let's first look at what's currently available for TB treatment. For drug-susceptible TB, the standard treatment includes four drugs: isoniazid, rifampin, or rifampicin, pyrazinamide, and ethambutol. The treatment duration is a minimum of 6 months, with the intensive phase requiring direct supervision, and it's 90% effective in curing disease. For drug-resistant tuberculosis, the treatment options are limited, and the drugs are often toxic and very expensive. Treatment duration is about 20 months, and patients are confined in order to contain spread of the infection. The new WHO guidelines for treating drug-resistant TB recommend ambulatory care over hospitalization, but until patients are no longer contagious, regardless of where they are treated, they must be confined. The treatment of drug-resistant TB is about 60 to 75% effective. You can see from our review of the currently available treatment options that barriers to effective treatment definitely exist. Let's look at them a little more comprehensively for a moment. You'll see that treatment duration is long. Patients are required to take many medicines. There's a fairly significant level of failure to cure with existing treatments. Patients must be directly observed to ensure adherence to the complicated treatment regimens. Side effects range from bothersome to life-threatening. And management of side effects is especially challenging in treating patients with both TB and HIV. Treatment of drug-susceptible TB is relatively inexpensive, especially when compared with the high cost of treating drug-resistant TB. But in addition to the cost of the drugs and healthcare services, individuals and families have many other financial considerations, such as transportation costs, child care, and loss of work, for example. Not mentioned yet, but also important is the fact that many more people are infected with TB than those who progress to active disease. The options for treating latent TB, as it is called, are very limited. We currently have one drug, isoniazid, and it must be taken for 6 months at a minimum. Health providers, parents, and guardians of children with TB regularly cite the challenges of providing treatment because of the lack of availability of pediatric formulations. TB drugs also face the same availability challenges of other essential medicines. Health facilities stock out of TB drugs. Information systems do not effectively respond to the unique treatment characteristics of TB, or forecasts to determine procurement quantities are inaccurate. Finally, the development of drug resistance is an important and dangerous barrier to effective treatment. Luckily, there is a new diagnostic called Expert that will help to increase detection of drug resistance. So now let's look at the optimal characteristics for new TB drugs. The compound should be stable and have a long shelf life. It should be available as an oral preparation. The treatment duration should be short, or at least shorter than the current standard treatment. The regimen should be simple. The treatment should be highly effective against both drug-sensitive and drug-resistant TB, and when used concurrently with antiretrovirals in the treatment of HIV. It should be safe and have minimal side effects. Child-friendly formulation should be available, and it should be easy to manage in the healthcare system, including within the supply chain. There are three groups that focus intensively on new drugs and new drug regimens. They are the Stop TB Working Group on New Drugs, the Global Alliance for TB Drug Development, which is commonly referred to as the TB Alliance, and the Critical Path to TB Drug Regimens, which is a program of the Critical Path Institute. The members of the Stop TB Working Group on New Drugs represent research and development, regulatory agencies, public health funding agencies, the community, and advocacy and policy organizations. The group's mission is to, quote, accelerate the discovery and development of new drugs for the treatment of tuberculosis by bringing together the stakeholders in the TB drug development, including the patients themselves. The TB Alliance was established in 2000 as a not-for-profit product development partnership. Their mission is to, quote, discover and develop better, faster-acting and affordable drugs to fight tuberculosis. The Alliance combines the talent of their research and development staff with partner contributions to speed the TB drug development and development of new TB regimens. The Alliance manages a portfolio of more than 20 projects. The Critical Path to TB Drug Regimens is a project of the Critical Path Institute. It was formed in March of 2010, and this group includes representatives of pharmaceutical companies, government and regulatory agencies, donors, academia, advocates for and NGOs, and multilaterals. The aim of the group is similar to the others, but with more focus. They seek to, quote, accelerate the development of new, safe, and highly effective tuberculosis treatment regimens with shorter therapy durations. They want to move development of new regimens forward more quickly. We'll talk a little bit more about how they work with regulators to make this happen. Now, let's turn to have a look at the various development pipelines of these groups. We'll quickly examine their pipelines and then talk about a few of the drugs and drug regimens in late or later stage development. You will not be able to read these pipelines in detail, but you can easily find them on the internet. This pipeline appears in WHO's just released Global Tuberculosis Control 2010 report. It's a comprehensive look at the new drugs and regimens, including those in discovery, preclinical, and clinical development. The TB Alliance's portfolio is limited just to the work of the Alliance. Their portfolio includes three drug candidates and a novel regimen, which we'll look at in a moment, among others. This is a screenshot of the Stop TB Working Group on New TB Drugs' interactive pipeline. When you click on a trial name, you're taken to a page with more detailed information about the study. Let's look quickly at three of these in phase three development. I don't intend for you to be able to read the next three slides, but I do want you to see how the working group presents a helpful snapshot of their studies. Gadafloxacin is an approved fluoroquinolone, but it is currently not authorized or indicated for the treatment of TB. The study summarized on this page seeks to demonstrate that gadafloxacin-containing regimen of 4 months is safe and effective in treating pulmonary TB, which is the most common form of tuberculosis. The researchers are currently enrolling patients, and the study locations cover most geographic regions of Africa. Moxifloxacin is also a fluoroquinolone, but without a TB indication. Current phase 3 studies are seeking to show that using moxifloxacin can reduce the duration of treatment in drug-susceptible TB from 6 to 4 months by substituting ethambutol or isoniazid. This study's geographic reach includes Africa, Latin America, Asia, South Asia, and the UK. Rifapentine. This study involving rifapentine, a drug that is already approved for the treatment of TB, compares two approaches to treatment of latent TB, which is when someone is known to be infected with the TB bacillus, but who has not developed active TB disease. This study compares once a week directly observed treatment with rifapentine and isoniazid for 12 weeks, compared with 9 months of self-administered daily isoniazid, which is the standard treatment for latent TB. Another study worth a moment of our time is the new Combination 1, or NC-001 study, being undertaken by the TB Alliance. This study tests combinations of three drugs simultaneously. It includes a new drug named PA-824, moxifloxacin, and pyrazinamide, one of the drugs used in the current standard treatment of drug-susceptible TB. The hope is that they can demonstrate it is safe and effective in treating both drug-sensitive and drug-resistant tuberculosis in 4 months. In addition to being shorter, there's a hope that it will not have serious drug interactions with antiretrovirals needed to treat people with HIV and TB. Gaining approval for new drugs and new drug regimens is lengthy and complicated, and it takes years to complete. Once the delivery and preclinical development phases are completed, clinical trials begin. Obtaining sufficient valid information through clinical trials to establish safety, efficacy, and benefit of the drug or treatment regimen is very difficult. Some obstacles investigators face when conducting clinical trials are challenges in complying with international standards for good clinical practices and good clinical laboratory practices. Limited human capacity to conduct trials is also a significant challenge. Adding a late-stage controlled clinical trial to clinicians' already overworked schedule strains them further. Finally, designing studies to explore the effectiveness of combination therapy is particularly challenging. To address this, the FDA drafted guidelines on co-development. It defines testing and developing two or more novel agents together in a single development program. The risks are higher since you can't get the same level of safety data if you were testing one drug at a time, but the stakes are high in treatment of MDR-TB, which warrants this approach. The critical path to TB drug regimens focuses particular attention on clinical trials that support co-development. Regulatory approval is the next challenging step in the approval process. Strict FDA requirements may be challenging to meet, but they provide a thick layer of protection against drugs of unproven safety and efficacy or poor quality from making it to market. Finally, endorsement by WHO is an important designation to achieve since it provides further global validation of the products. You may have seen the press release in July where WHO urged countries to ban the blood test to detect active TB, but it endorsed the diagnostic expert MTBRIF late in 2010. Before I end my presentation, I want to remind you of the fact that many issues lie ahead for new TB drugs and regimens, regarding the need for pediatric formulations, ensuring that supply chain considerations are taken into account, ensuring that the safety of those high-value drugs, health workers need to be trained and kept up to date as field experience expands, and a key issue is the adoption of new treatments by national governments. National TB control programs will have to adopt new treatment policies, amend standard treatment guidelines, add new products to essential medicines lists, provide training, ensure monitoring, such as through severe adverse reaction reporting mechanisms, and more general surveillance of treatment outcomes. Unfortunately, monitoring is particularly difficult due to the lack of biomarkers to monitor disease activity, relapse, and cure. But that is a topic for another presentation. Thank you so much.